Well, I'm not going to speak about the Middle East again today. I'm sorry if you were hoping for like a little bit of an update. I think I could have, you know, been misheard a little bit last week. I certainly don't side with Israel over Palestine, and I think we need compassion for all people, as I had a lovely person come up to me after the service and just, yeah, speak their heart. God does want us to have compassion for all people, and that's what he's on about, and as are we as his representatives. I'm looking forward to a little bit later hearing from Legacy and hearing more stories from that. So for now, I just want to really speak to the scriptures that we have just heard, beginning with thinking about those in authority. I think in days gone by, there was a lot more respect for authority, certainly in schools, in other realms of society, but the society we live in today, I find there's very few younger people who actually want to have any authority over them. Personally, I, as a youngster, was quite rebellious, so I understand that. But the older I've got, the more I actually really appreciate having people in authority over me, especially as I have authority, positional authority in leadership. I thank God for the Anglican Church, which has its structures, which keep everyone safe. I think authority and accountability go hand in hand, and both are needed. Just like the army, it has its structures, and soldiers understand those who have authority over them. Commanders, you know, have people that they give authority to, and they carry out their orders. Just like the centurion in the gospel reading we just heard about had 100 soldiers under him. And he understands that when he tells his soldiers to go and do this or do that, they actually do it because they are under his authority, and they know if they rebel against his authority, then that's going to go to, you know, the centurion's commander and go right up to Caesar or, you know, the leaders of Rome at the time. And it wouldn't work out well for them. They knew how to respect authority and carry out the orders given to them. And so this centurion can come to Jesus, who has authority over everything, with great faith in his ability to heal his servant or son at home. So this centurion, understanding how authority is carried out and how coming under one's authority ought to be lived out, he comes to Jesus because this centurion himself does not have the authority or the power to heal his servant or his son, it might say in other gospels. He comes to Jesus as Jesus is the one with authority. Everyone in his day recognized this. They saw him speaking with authority, acting with authority, living with authority, teaching with authority. At his command, demons fled. At his command, waves were stilled. At his command, wind stopped. Everything obeyed him. And we see at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, he says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." And therefore, he tells his disciples, "Therefore, go and make disciples, teaching them everything that I have taught you." He's been given all authority, and those who come and live under his authority receive his authority to do the very things that he did and tells them to do. Jesus shares his authority with us. And so we too can come under his authority and live out our lives under his authority like this centurion did, with great, amazing faith that his word would be fulfilled. So when this centurion comes to Jesus and says, "Please heal my servant," Jesus says to him, "Shall I come to your house?" And he says, "No, just say the word and he will be healed." He had that much faith in the authoritative word that Jesus spoke, that he knew what Jesus said would be done at home as he said it, and it was. Jesus said, "Your son is healed," and he declared, "I have not seen such great faith in the whole of Israel." Jesus said that phrase twice in the Gospels, twice when Gentiles declared and acted with such amazing faith that the Jews, the people he came to, lacked. "I have not seen such faith in the whole of Israel." in the whole of my people who I've come to, who the Messiah would come through, the ones who are meant to be waiting for him, believing in him, expecting him, coming under his authority, were the very ones who rebelled against him and would have him killed and did not believe. But this outsider, this foreigner, comes in and says, I just believe in your word, I believe in your authority, I want to live under it. And Jesus says, this is amazing faith. So how about us today? Are we living under Christ's authority? Do we take him at his word and say his word is so authoritative that it will actually come to fulfillment? What he says he will do, he will do. He still has the power. He still has the authority. Are we going to come under it? Are we going to put our faith in it? Are we going to live as people of faith and live our lives under his authority? Trusting his word, believing his word, carrying it out. I think that's a challenge for each of us today, because I think we limit his power. I think we limit his authority over our lives. His kingdom has come in all its fullness, even though it's now not yet, and there's even a greater fulfillment coming. But he reigns, he is king, and we need to live our lives under his authority as his people. We're like God's army. We're like his commanders under his authority to carry out his commands, fighting spiritual battles, because that's the battles that we all are involved in. Very few of us will go and serve our country. Thank you to you who are here today. Thank you. And thank you to all who still do. But many of us won't go out and fight battles such as that, but we are all in a spiritual battle. And we're not fighting against other people. We're not fighting against your wife or your spouse or your sister who offended you or anyone else. We fight spiritual battles against things like shame. Shame binds people so much that they can't move forward in faith. It keeps them trapped, but Jesus came to set people free. So when we speak the gospel, when we preach in authority, when we say Jesus Christ has come to set you free from that, we are fighting such things as shame and guilt and anything that holds people back from experiencing the kingdom of God. And so when we preach the gospel, when we share the gospel, the good news of peace, and spread peace, bringing peace to people, to their lives and to the world, we're declaring Jesus reigns and we live under his authority, and you can too, because it's the greatest place of freedom which he won for us, and that is the best place to live in. And so if it's okay with you, I'll turn to that earlier scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, and talk a little bit more about how you can fight spiritual battles. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the armour of God, the full armour of God. And we think, is that God's armour that he wears, or is it from God? And I say it's both. Isaiah tells us that God puts the armour on. It says, he put on his righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. Jesus himself wore this armour. This is the armour of God. We get to share God's armour. Everything that God has to strengthen him, he gives to us to strengthen us in our battles. He shares it with us. There's similar imagery in Thessalonians. And so we don't have to limit the breastplate or the armour just to different things. For example, it says, we belong to the day. Let us be sober and alert. Put on faith and love as a breastplate. So we don't just have a righteousness as a breastplate, which we heard in Isaiah, but faith and love, all the good things that God has, he shares with us to cover us, to strengthen us, to protect us, to help us live out his will in this world. It says, so that you can stand against all the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. Stand firm then with the belt of truth wrapped around you. Wrap truth around you. Stand in the truth. And with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now that righteousness is not really speaking of a personal righteousness, but we have that through faith in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. We wear his righteousness, his white robes. And it's not talking about a social righteousness, like a sense of justice as such, but a right standing with other people, right relationships. And doesn't that protect our hearts, when our breastplate, when we stand in right relationships with God and others? That is a strong position to be in, because those, you know, enemy can't attack you so easily then, because you know you've got a clear conscience, you know your heart's right, you know you've done the right thing by God and others as much as you can in your own strength and with God's help. So stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We're reminded here of another verse from Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who proclaim peace, who bring good news, good tidings, who proclaim salvation, and say to Zion, your God reigns. You know, the day will come when everyone knows that God will reign in all sovereignty. Everyone will know that. But as we proclaim to others that God does reign, and one day he's going to come and fulfill those promises, God's kingdom is and will be present among us, and we can live our lives under his reign, then there's peace in us when we live there, and we bring peace to the world. The gospel of peace, that's not the gospel that, you know, that the whole big story, but God reigns. As we live under his authority, we have peace in our hearts and bring peace to the world. So wear those shoes, to share the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, if you think about shields today, they wouldn't really extinguish flaming arrows. If you imagine like the enemy coming and attacking a big city, what they would shoot over the city walls are arrows on fire. They want to set that place on fire. They want to penetrate the city. If you think of like Captain America's sword or just any other sword, I just think of like big bronze or metal swords like Gladiator. It wasn't like that. Their shields were leather. And to distinguish a firing arrow, they would have to soak those leather swords, like soak them in water, and then stand together to protect them all. And as those fiery arrows came over and hit those big shields of wet leather, they would be extinguished, they'd go out. And in the same way, we fight the battles, that the fiery arrows that the enemy fires at us can just be extinguished because we have this shield of faith, that God is protecting us, that he is for us, and we entrust ourselves to him. So we can, you know, imagine that faith that extinguishes the attack from the enemy. It protects us. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, we have the full word of God, and when we hear that very sentence, we think, oh, you know, come it in with the devil. But they didn't have that full word of God, the Bible as we know it today. They only had just the word of God, the word Jesus spoke, like just what we heard in the passage with the centurion. The salvation in Jesus' name. And that is enough, because Jesus' name is enough to save. Faith in him, faith in what he came to do, the truth about him, the word of Christ. So we don't attack people with the gospel, but we bring the gospel, the good news of Christ, to them. And that defeats the enemy in their life, as I said earlier, the shame, the guilt, anything that binds people. It sets them free. The word of God set people free from guilt and shame, so that they know that they are loved, that they are redeemed, that they have freedom in Christ and all that he promises. And so as we put on this armour, we're encouraged to pray. We pray as we put it on. We pray on all occasions, as this last bit says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So many alls, pray on all occasions, pray on all kinds of prayers, and pray for all the Lord's people. Pray all the time, in all things. And so I think we'll just do that now to conclude. I think that is the best defense of all. Let me pray. Jesus Christ, we recognize your authority, that you have all the authority the Father has given you, and today we want to bring our lives afresh under your reign. And we pray that you will show us how to live under your authority and carry out your will, just as Jesus did. And we just ask that you will protect us from the evil one, that you'll help us to stand firm in the armor that you provide, your amazing armor that strengthens you, that strengthens us, the righteousness, the peace, the word of God, the faith, the prayer, Lord, the gift of prayer, to be able to pray to you on all occasions in every single thing, and that you strengthen us, you give us courage, and you help us to fight our battles. So continue to do that for us, Lord. We pray for the victory over all our enemies, over shame and guilt and anything that works against you and your authority in our lives, Lord. We surrender afresh to you, knowing that in you we have the victory. Through Jesus Christ. Amen.